get into it. I know that many of you struggle with finances. Either you are right now at the present time, and that would probably be most of us, or you have in the past. And what I really want to do is try to show us something and help us with something from the Word of God that will actually help set us free from the burden of finances. The burden and the worry that comes from finances, the bondages that come from finances. And I'm going to give myself over the next couple of weeks to really studying the Word of God, looking into the Word of God, and trying to really find out what God has in this Word to show us. And as we were at men's breakfast this morning and talked, I asked them to pray for me concerning this particular thing, that the Lord will open up to me things that not, I won't just stand here and give you knowledge, but that I can receive something that can be given to you and that you can receive that will help you to do what you need to do about finances. Now, will you agree to pray for me over these next several weeks specifically concerning that? Will you? Thank you. Now, that's where we're going, and that's what we're going to be looking at. Now, turn with me in the book of 2 Kings, and this is a very strange place to begin talking about the blessings of God and finances, but I want to do something, and I felt quickened of the Lord to do this today. I'm blaming it on the Lord. You know, sometimes we say it's the Lord, and I blame it on Him until it doesn't work. And if it doesn't work, how many knows it's probably not the Lord? So, but I want us to do something. And how many knows that Paul said that the wisdom of God is foolishness to the world? Is that what he said? And the foolish things confound the wise. In 2 Kings chapter 13, this is the time of Elisha the prophet. And in chapter 13, beginning at verse 14, he is here ministering to Joash, the king of Israel. Now, I want you to understand that he's ministering to a king. He's ministering to Joash, the king of Israel, a very wealthy person, a very rich man, a very well-off person. And he begins to minister to him about war. And I want to read verses 18 and 19. Then he, Elisha, said, "Take the arrows," and he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground," and he struck it three times and stopped. So the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria until you would have destroyed it, but now you shall strike Syria only three times." Now what I want to say here is, how many of you realize that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, and that there is a demonic force, there is an evil spirit that wants to keep you from prospering, and that you need to learn how to strike it? Are you with me? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? And I'm going to ask you to do something with me. I want you to dream a little bit. I want you to dream and think how it would be if you owed no man anything except to love him. I want you to dream how it would be if you had not just enough to make your bills and get by this week, but you had enough money that you could bless anybody that you wanted to bless with any amount that you wanted to bless them with. You could go any place that you wanted to go. You could do anything that you wanted to do. I want you to dream and try to imagine how that would feel, that you could give away as much as you wanted to. You could do what you wanted to. You owed nothing to anybody except to love them. How many of you would like that? Okay. Now, that's more than enough. That's an abundance, okay? That's what I want to say. But now, I'm going to ask you to do something that seems very foolish to the world. Elisha told Joash to strike the ground, and he only struck it three times. I'm going to ask you to do something physical, to speak to principalities and powers, that you're not going to put up with their mess anymore. That you're planning on being financially blessed and financially free. And what I'm warning, I'm going to ask you in a minute, just do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You can stand and you can shout. You can clap your hands. You can sit there and be oppressed if you want to. You can stomp the ground. You can clap your hands. You can jump. Whatever that you want to do. But the thing that I'm warning you about is do it more than three times. Now, this is foolish, I know, to the world. But how many knows? It worked for Joash. How many of you want to defeat Syria? More than today, and more than tomorrow, and more than the next day. But you want to defeat them for the rest of your life. That you want to be free from financial bondages. How many of you want to do that? Well, let's stand up and do something. Do something. Come on, don't wait on somebody else to start. All right. Hallelujah! Yeah! 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 Yes! All right. Come on! Come on! Oh! Woo! Okay! Yes, yes, yes! Yes, yes, yes! Hallelujah! All right! Glory! All right. Now, some of you want it more than others. Some of you aren't too sure you want to be financially free. Some of you just want a little financially freedom. Some of you would do cartwheels if you thought nobody would laugh at you. And that's the way it works. I want you to see that's pretty much the way it is. Some of us are more blessed than others because some of us are willing to pay the price more than others to get free. Be seated. Galatians chapter 3. Understand that a lot of this seems foolish, but it's in the Bible, folks. I mean, he had this king hitting the dirt with his arrows, and it worked. And you can be as free as you want to be, but you got to adhere to the principles of the Word of God. Galatians chapter 3, I just want to, today, to pretty much bring basically two principles. And when we leave here, I want you to be able to know, first of all, the cycle, how God's cycle of blessing works. I want you, if I was to walk up to you at the end of the service and say, tell me how God's cycle of blessings work, I want you to be able to tell me. And the second thing I want you to be able to do when you leave here today is be able to tell me what measures the blessings that you get. First of all, how does the cycle of blessing work? Secondly of all, what measures the blessing? If you can do that, then we'll have a foundation that we'll be able to not only minister to our lives, but able to impart things into our children's life and be able to help people that come and want aid and counseling for finances. And as I look out over us today, some of the people that need to hear this the most aren't here. And that's God, though, right? He's going to bring them. And I'm not putting them down, but I'm just telling you. I don't do these things anymore to show you how smart I am and show you how much I know in the Word of God. I study, and I want to bring you something that will change our lives. If it can't change your lives, what good is it? If we can't take the Word of God and apply it, it's nothing more than stuff that will just puff us up. Galatians chapter 3, what I want us to see right now is that you are an heir of God, you're a joint heir with Christ, but I want you to understand that it goes beyond that, that you are also the seed of and the heir of Abraham, and an heir of the promise. And then I want to divide for you and show you the difference of those two thoughts. Chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 13, and you probably need to read this whole chapter, but I just have so much time. And your backsides can only endure for so long. So I want to just try to hit the high points and keep moving. Verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us. We sang about that this morning. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that, this is why he redeemed us, in order that, in Christ Jesus, the what? Blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now what we've just read here is, first of all, you are redeemed. Jesus Christ came on the cross, on the tree, He redeemed us. By His blood, we are redeemed. Say, I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
And then the next verse tells us, so that, or why, you're redeemed. First thing is because it's the blessings of Abraham. Second thing is because the promise of the Spirit. Do you see that? Understand this principle. Just as sure as He came to redeem you for the promise of the Spirit. He came to redeem you for the promise of Abraham or the blessing of Abraham. Okay? What is the difference? In Christ Jesus, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ went about doing good. He went about laying hands on the sick. He went about healing people. He went about prophesying to people. He went about raising the dead. He went about doing all these good things for people. Ministering, preaching, teaching. Did Abraham do that? Jesus Christ moved in the Spirit. He walked in the Spirit. He lived in the Spirit. His Father was the Spirit. Was Abraham's? What happened, what I want us to see, is that Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ we get spiritual blessings. We get gifts of the Spirit. We get the work of the blood in our life. We get all the things that Jesus Christ redeemed us through His blood for. But also through that, we also come into the blessing or the promise of Abraham. And in that is the natural. One is the spiritual. You can't see. You see the manifestations of it. But Abraham, he didn't do any of those things. But he was so blessed. Can you hear me? Was he blessed with things you could see? What I'm trying to show you is this. In Christ Jesus, you'll receive eternal blessings. Things that will work now and things that are futuristic. In Abraham, you get something that's good right now. Right today. Was Abraham a rich man? How rich? Very rich. Do you know that you are the seed of Abraham and that in Abraham you receive that blessing? Now let me go on just a little bit further. Look at verse 29 of that same chapter. And just as sure now as He redeemed you with His blood, just as sure as Jesus Christ died so that you could be an heir of Christ, or heir, joint heir with Christ, He has died so that you can also receive the promise and be an heir of Abraham. Verse 29. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring or Abraham's seed. And what? Heirs according to the promise. Say, I'm an heir according to the promise. Say it. I'm an heir according to the promise. That means you can have good things, natural things, wealthy things right now. Some of you can't. We got to get that in us, folks. Listen, the mentality in the church is that you're spiritual if you're poor. Since the turn of the century, that's kind of what's been on church. You couldn't have money and be a Christian. Oh, it's harder for a rich man to go through, it's harder for a rich man to get in the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You ever heard that? But it's not impossible. He'll have to do you like He does every other camel, take you apart piece by piece by piece. But you will go through. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you can go through the needle and be rich. Now, and I know all that, you know, it's a gate, and I know all that stuff. I'm trying to get you to the other mentality to understand that, listen, are you a better blessing in the kingdom of God? Do you pay more tithes if you make less money, or do you pay more tithes if you make more money? If you're poor compared to if you're rich, which amount would be greater? The rich man's tithe or the poor man's tithe? What does God want you to do? Does He want you to tithe a lot? I'm trying to get you to see something. It is not spiritual to be poor. Now, you can be poor and be spiritual. But I'd rather be rich and be spiritual. How many see now what I've said? I want you to lay this foundation. With Abraham, we get natural blessings, things that we can see now. In Christ Jesus, the heir, joint heirs with Christ Jesus, we get the spiritual things. Things that we have now and futuristically, but basically things of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says that your children, and if children, are sons of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Understand that you are an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Christ. But also, we've just read that you are an heir according to the promise of Abraham. Is that all right? Is that the Bible now? All right. Genesis chapter 12. Let's find out what this promise to Abraham is. In Genesis 12, we'll find it in its purest and simplest form. It's the covenant beginning, and it's so good because it's so simple, and it's seven simple points. Seven simple points to the initial covenant with Abraham. And from this comes the promise. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. How important is it to have a good name? Huh? You see what I... There it is, huh? I'll make your name great, he says. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. There's 7 points here of the blessings of Abraham, or the promise that God gave Abraham. But they were all contingent on Abraham being obedient to God. Do you see that? Verse 1 says, Abraham, you got to leave everything. Your blessings is contingent upon your obedience to God. If you want the full blessings of Abraham, you've got to give God your full obedience. You've got to forsake everything. What was it that Abraham didn't forsake other than his wife? Everything but God. And he went and he left everything and he went. And then God said, if you'll do this, if you'll be obedient, if you'll do what I tell you to do, leave everything and do what I tell you to do, he says, I'll bless you. Now the first point of those 7 points, the first one, he says, I'll make you a great nation. I'll make you a great nation. Now you can't have a nation without people. And you can't have people without descendants. And you can't have descendants without children. The first thing that we've got to understand is that God is interested in children. God is interested in a righteous seed in the land. The first thing that God says here is that He wants an inheritance. He wants... God's inheritance is our children. Am I right? God's inheritance is our children. We are to leave our primary purpose in life. Our primary purpose in life is to leave God a righteous seed. Now, getting into the second point, and he says, secondly, I'll bless you. Does God said, I'll bless you? He'll bless you. He will bless you. He will give me something that will be a blessing to me. Now, from that blessing, he says, I'll make your name great. Is God interested in me having a good name? But in the church today, how great is the name of most Christians with bill collectors? The infamous. In other words, they do know them, huh? Can you hear me? I'm not going to get on this too much. But folks, if you're living beyond your means, you're not bringing God glory. And we've got to understand He'll bless us, but we've got to live within that blessing. We've got to bring glory to His name. We won't bring glory to His name if we're not living within the means by which He blesses us. Now let's go on. Let's see if I'm on track. He says, first of all, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. And then what happens? You will be a blessing. Does He bless me so that I can get greedy and keep it all? Why does He bless me? So I can be a blessing. I'm a channel. I've got to understand that what He gives me, He expects me to give. I'm a channel. It comes through me and I become a blessing. Do it. Great nation, I'll bless you. I'll make your name great so you can be a blessing. He says, I'll bless those that bless you and I'll curse those that curse you. What is our part to do? To curse or to bless? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. What we're to do is be a blessing. Take what God gives us and make a blessing out of it. Bless somebody, someplace, somewhere, with something. He wants us to be a blessing. He says, I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you. And then the 7th thing, now watch how this thing has matured. Be a blessing. He said, I'll bless you. You'll be a blessing. And now this point, the 7th point says, how much of a blessing will you be? What does it say? It's in your lap. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. How much blessing does He want this church to be in this area? Come on. All the families. Say all the families. All the families. Folks, He wants this house, He wants this family to be a blessing to all the families. Now, see how it grew. He blessed me. I became a blessing. He blessed me. I became a blessing. He blessed me. I became a blessing. There's the cycle. The more He blesses me, the more I bless. And finally, it grows into such a thing that I'm able to bless this whole area. How many people do you want to bless? Everybody's the right answer. But most Christians just want to bless me and mine. I want to be greedy. I want to pay my bills. I want to have my house. I want to have my car. I want to have my nice clothes. And as long as we're moving in that mentality, we won't get the blessings of Abraham, because that's not the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is God's blessing us so that we can be a blessing. That cycling, that growing, that becoming more and more and more and more, until finally Malachi 3:10 happens, where he pours out a blessing that you don't have room to contain it, and you're such a blessing to all the earth. You can have a teaspoon, a cup, a pot, or a wheelbarrow. Name of the message: teaspoons to wheelbarrows. That's the cycle. He's not going to give you the wheelbarrow until he can trust you with a teaspoon. Come on. Am I right now? Notice how it develops. He says, I'll bless you. You'll be a blessing. And then I'll bless you, and you'll be a blessing, and I'll bless you, and you'll be a blessing, until finally everything is blessed by you. God puts a church in an area to be a blessing, folks. Not to be greedy, not to get all of it for itself, but to be a blessing to all the people in the whole area. He said, I want you to be a blessing to all the earth. The earth is our realm. The earth is our region. We're supposed to bless around here. And if your mentality is to get so you can be rich, I'm wanting you to know you might have it for a season, but you might be one of those wicked that the wealth is laid up for, folks, that will be a blessing. Come on. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. We've got to understand that. And you can have a teaspoon of blessing, or you can have a wheelbarrow of blessing. You got to understand, and when there's the cycle. I want you to see the cycle. He blesses you so you can be a blessing, so that he can bless you, so that you can be a blessing, so he can bless you, so you can be a blessing, and it keeps growing until you can pour it out and you won't have room to contain it. He'll bless you. He'll bless you until people will give unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. You can't hold it in your hands. You got to hold it like this. And ASV says your lap. You got to carry it like this. That's the way he wants to bless us. How many is with me now? Do you see the cycle? The cycle is not so you can get. The cycle is to get so you can give. And once that gets into us and we begin to activate in this, God can trust us with a teaspoon. He'll give us a cup. If he trusts us with a cup, he'll give us the pot. If we can trust us with a pot, he'll finally give us the wheelbarrow. How many want the wheelbarrow? Some of you didn't. Some of you are just doing this. Need to be doing this. Need to want the wheelbarrow. I want the wheelbarrow. Now, Malachi 3. There was your first one. I want you to understand the cycle of blessing. The cycle of blessings is not so that you just get blessed. The promise of Abraham, he says, I'll bless you so you can be a blessing. So that I can bless you so that you can be a blessing until finally all the nations of the world, all the families of the world, will end up being blessed. These are foundation principles. If we're walking in a greed mentality, God cannot bless us. Malachi 3, start at verse 8. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture to this church, this fellowship. I want to go through it because it's so foundational. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. NASV is present tense. You are doing it. Not that you have done it. You are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? In how? Tithes and contributions or offerings. Now, I want to give you the principle of tithing. What is the tithe? Tithe is a tenth. But I want to give you what I feel like the Lord would tell us today the tithe is. The tithe is your monitor, not my monitor. Your monitor is not for me, and my monitor is not for you. The tithe is the monitor of your heart. The tithe is the monitor of, is the Lord truly the Lord of your life? How can you say that, Pastor? How can you say that? Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 that where a man's treasure is, there his heart is. And he goes on, the eye must be single. You can't have plural vision. He says you won't serve two masters. He says you'll love one or you'll hate the other, or you'll cleave the one and you'll reject the other. He says you cannot serve what? God and mammon, or God and things, or God and money. The tithe is the initial, it's a principle. If you can see the tithe is not as a law, but as a principle. The tithe is the principle of your heart. The tithe will tell you, it's your gauge to see if you truly are seeking first the things of the kingdom of God. The tithe is your gauge to see whether you want first His things or your thing. Is that true? If you're not a tither, then what you're really saying, even though you may say, but Pastor, I don't have money to pay tithes, whether you do or whether you don't, that's not my point. My point is that you have put the things of the earth first before the things of God. It's a monitor. It's your monitor. I can't judge you, and you can't judge me. I know if I'm tithing, and you know if you're tithing. And it's your monitor to know where you are in God. It's where your heart is in God. If your base is a tithe, so that God just gives us that principle so that we can know where we need to be, know where we need to start. And that's a pretty good way of putting it. That's the way you start at. You're really not giving God anything under that. It's the initial point. The tithe is the initial point of to where your heart is in God and with God. Now, let me just read this. The tithe and offering, and I want to make sure I say that, the tithe and the offering, because that's New Testament giving, the tithe and the offering is the monitor of my heart's commitment. The tithe and the offering is my gauge to truly see if I put God's work first or myself first. Now, if you don't agree with me on that, I'm sorry. I don't say those things to offend you. I'm trying to open up heaven for you. I'm trying to show you the basic principles of the Word of God as to having the windows of heaven open. Because if you're not a tither, the windows of heaven are not open. Now let's read on and see if what I just said to you is true. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Now God hasn't cursed you. You have cursed yourself. It's the principle of the Word of God. If you're tithing, then you're going to be blessed. It's the blessings of Abraham. Did Abraham pay tithes to Melchizedek? Tithes of all, the Bible said. Now, what we've got to understand is that the tithe will open up heaven or open up the curse. If you don't tithe, then there's a curse. And it's not that God's cursed you. It's that you haven't opened up heaven so that you can be blessed. Keep reading. Bring the whole tithe. Let me stop and just say what the tithe is. Again, the tithe is what's expected of me. The offering is a little bit extra that I do. There's a principle there, and I just want to interject it, and I'll talk about it more later. You will find that any person in anywhere that is successful will function in this principle. They may not know they're functioning in this principle, but you'll find that they're functioning in this principle. They have a work. They have something that they do. They do what they do well. They do what's expected of them. So you will not achieve if you don't do what's expected of you to do. Then the achiever, the successful person, will do just a little bit more. It's like if you've got a job and you've got five things that you're supposed to do. If you're going to be an achiever, you're going to do six. Is God going to bless that? He's going to bless that because your supervisor is going to see that you're just not trying to get by with a five, and most of us try to get by with four. He's going to see you're not going to get by with a five, but you're going to do the six. And he's going to bring you into supervision. He's going to bring you right on up the ladder. Now, the world calls it brown-nosing. God calls it being blessed. Am I right? And there's your principle. The tithe is the expected. The offering is the blessing. The tithe is what's expected of you. The offering is the blessing. Keep going. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Food in whose house? Let's get this straight. Why do you tithe? What's the first reason that you tithe? Talk to me. Put food in His house. Folks, if you don't want good ministry, don't tithe. If you don't want me to be able to bless your life and to change your life and give you the Word of God, then don't tithe. If you don't want your children blessed, if you don't want your children ministered to, if you don't want this house, if you don't want this place to be the place where your children can come, your grandchildren can come, your great-grandchildren can come, and they can find food here to change their lives, then don't tithe. But if you do, if you've got any kind of a vision for anything in the future, if you can see your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren prospering and being blessed by the Word of God and having their lives changed and overcoming the devil, then you need to tithe. The first reason that we tithe is to put food here. Ministry here. Something that can grow some fruit so that somebody else can come and partake of it and eat off of it. What's the first reason we tithe? Put food in His house. Put food in His house. And test me tomorrow. Let me encourage you. Tithe for 120 days. Test God for 120 days and see what happens. And start, not tomorrow, now. Try me now. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. That's the Lord of angels. If you want the angels, you got to have the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the window of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until there's a times period, there's a so that in the King James Version. What does NIV say, Pastor Tebow? Well, what's the time? Is it so that or until or blessing? That. It's a time word. It's until. In other words, it's what I was trying to show you here. It's an until. You won't get this the first time you tithe. Okay? You'll start getting the teaspoon, but at least you're starting. And then you're going to get more tithe, more offering, and you're going to get the cup. And more tithe and more offering, and you're going to get the pot. And then eventually we're going to get the wheelbarrow. So that, or until, you can not just be blessed, but you can be a blessing, and so that you can bless a lot of people. So that, or until, there is no more need, NASV, or so that you receive a blessing that you don't have room to contain. And I'm going to do this in just a second. I'm going to get Willis up here in a few minutes, and I'm going to put a little blessing in my teaspoon. I'm going to see if he can contain it. And then I'm going to give him the blessing out of the cup and see if he can contain it. Then I'm going to give him the blessing out of the pot and see if he can contain it. Then I'm going to bless him that he doesn't have room to contain. How many see in what I'm trying to show you this morning? Do you see that? And it's a blessing so that you can be blessed, so that you can bless, so that you can receive a blessing, so that you can bless until you can be a blessing to a lot of people. Then verse 11 says, then I will rebuke. When? When will he do this? When will he rebuke the devourer? Okay. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that in it may not destroy the fruits of the ground. What you're producing won't be destroyed. Your children, your home, your workplace. These things is what God promises us here. The fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations, there we are again. How many see that the tithe is supposed to bless a lot of people? All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now, you've already heard some things about tithing, about the tithe that you didn't know, but I want to make one emphasis and then move on and close the message out. Not verse 11, the devourer. That's what we normally capitalize on when we talk about the tithing. Not verse 11, but just stay in verse 10. And according to the Word of God, how many believe the Word of God? You believe it? Do you believe that heaven and earth will pass away, but what you've got laying in your lap will never pass away? Do you believe that this pot will moth and rust will corrupt it? Do you believe that? But the Word of God is eternal. Do you believe that this building will pass away? The Bible says that it will. Heaven and earth, everything, folks, everything will pass away. But what you got laying in your lap is eternal and it is real. It is more real than this building. Okay? Do you really believe that the Word of God is real? You really do. Now then, verse 10, just verse 10, not verse 11 where the devourer is. Verse 10, tell me what the tithe does. What does it do? Some of you are seeing it, some of you aren't. What does the tithe do? Opens the windows of heaven. Say that back. The tithe opens the windows of heaven. The tithe opens the windows of heaven. Therefore, if I'm not tithing, the windows of heaven are shut in my life. The tithe is the key to your blessing. The tithe opens the windows of heaven. And God says, then I'll pour you out a blessing until you got enough. Until there's no need. Until you can contain it. See that if you don't get anything else that I'm saying today, that the tithe opens the window of heaven in your life. It opens the blessings of God for your life. Without that window being open, God cannot pour out to you what He wants you to have, which are the blessings of Abraham. You'll stay at a teaspoon at best. So, the tithe opens the windows of heaven, and then He says, I'll pour you out what? The blessing. I'll pour it out to you. But what determines the measurement of if I get a teaspoon, or if I get a cup, or if I get a pot, or if I get a wheelbarrow? What determines? Boy, those are good answers. And they are correct. You've got to understand, folks, it's not dependent upon God how much you get. The Word of God, we're going to look at several passages, but I want you to hear me before we start turning. The Word of God says this, that by the measure by which you measure out, it shall be measured unto you again. Am I right? It's a principle throughout the Word of God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that too shall he also reap. Even in judgment, He says, you be careful how you judge, because by the same measure that you judge, you will be measured, judged again. God's measurement throughout the Bible is always dependent not upon Him, but upon us. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke 6. While you're turning, let me tell you what I've told you. You are the rightful heir to the promise of Abraham. You are. Legally, you can receive wealth and riches now. You don't have to wait and walk on streets of gold, folks. Have them now. I've told you that the tithe is the key to the window of heaven. And I've told you and showed you that the cycle of the blessing is He'll bless you with some, that you'll be a blessing, that He can bless you with more, that you can be a blessing, so that He can bless you with more, so that you can be a blessing. Until finally it grows until you're just blessing everybody. Luke 6 now will tell us the measure that controls what comes out of the window. Luke 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. They, or men, will give unto your lap or unto your bosom. In other words, you just can't hold it in your hands. It's more than enough. For whatever measure you deal out, it will be dealt to you in return. What determines the measure that you get in return? The measure that you what? Give out. Is that the Word of God? The measure that I give out determines the measure that I get back. That is a principle in the Word of God from one end to the other. I'll make you a blessing so that you can bless, so that I can make you a blessing, so that you can bless, and I'll bless you. And finally, you just keep it just keeps growing. It just keeps multiplying. That's the cycle. That's God's cycle. He gives it to us so that we can give it to others. Now, look in 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. This is Paul's teaching on giving in the New Testament. What we'll see here, again, is that whatever that you sow, you're going to reap it. You'll also see here that it's a picture of your heart. Verse 6. Did I say 2 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap how? Sparingly. And he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Which one do you want? Well, what have you got to do to get bountiful? What do you got to do to get a wheelbarrow? You got to sow a wheelbarrow. Huh? Don't sow a teaspoon and expect a wheelbarrow. And that's where the church basically is. Oh, God, why aren't you paying my bills? He said, oh, man of God, man of woman of God, why aren't you tithing? Why aren't you being a blessing? Verse 7. Let each one, how many of you is in each one? Each one. Let each one do just as he has purposed where. And that's exactly what you're going to do, folks. I can't make you give. You come and you tell me how your burdens are about your finances and how things are bad on you. And most of the time, my first reply is, are you tithing? I already know. No. Well, I just didn't have the money this past month. I wonder why you didn't have the money this past month. Because you weren't tithing. As it's in your heart, Jesus says, it's the monitor. You're gonna do just like it's in your heart. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. You can't do it because I get up here and our Dr. Cash gets up here and tells us that we're supposed to tithe. He says, do it how? For God loves what kind of a giver? A cheerful giver. Now look at this. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always in all sufficiency in everything, sufficiency, but keep reading, you may have what? Have what? An abundance. Do you want a sufficiency or an abundance? Folks, I'm tired of sufficiencies, aren't you? I'm tired of just having enough to pay the bills this week. I'm tired of that. I'm wanting us to see that if I sow a wheelbarrow, then I'll get a wheelbarrow. That's what the Word of God says. I want us to understand this principle, that I'm tired of sufficiency. Talk to me now. You might not can right now, but you know I'm right. Do you know that I'm right? Then say amen if you just know that I'm right. So we're seeing this. Now, that's the picture of the heart. Now, one more scripture in Galatians chapter 6, back to where we began with. Galatians 6 and verse 6. And let the one who is taught the word do what? Share. If you're really taught the word and you really understand the word, then you know you're supposed to be giving. You're supposed to be sharing. Share all good things with him who teaches. Verse 7. Do not be deceived. How many of you are tired of being deceived? I'm so tired of being deceived about finances. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. If you're wanting to do what I'm telling you today for greed, please don't. It'll only work for your destruction. You'll get corrupt, because this works. When you give, you're going to get. But if you're just getting it to get it and get greedy with it and not to be a blessing to other people, it will corrupt you. I shared a while back about the guy that wanted the Winnebago. He prayed for that Winnebago. He finally got his Winnebago, and that thing corrupted him. He got out of church, backslid. Folks, I'm telling you, if your mind isn't set on blessing and being a blessing and blessing and being a blessing so that God can bless us, then you're missing everything that I'm trying to say today. You'll reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, the one who does this thing according to the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, from your heart, from the Spirit, shall reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time, in due season, teaspoon, cup, pot, wheelbarrow, in due time, in due season, what'll happen? You shall reap if you do what? You don't give up. If you don't stop tithing, if you don't stop giving, if you don't stop giving God what you're supposed to get in tithe and in offerings, if you don't stop it, folks, I promise you, this is in line for you. I promise you, according to the Word of God, I can stand here and boldly declare, if you'll do the Word of God, you might be at a teaspoon today, or you might be at a cup today, or you might be at a pot today, but I'm promising and telling you, you got a wheelbarrow coming. And you shall reap it. If you won't quit, if you won't say, oh, this don't work, don't do it 2 weeks and say it doesn't work. But you can test God and you can try Him and see that it will work, folks. It will work. I promise you, it will work. And over these next couple of weeks, I intend to just bring you simple biblical principles about wisdom of God for your money. Just seeing. This is the foundation. You got to not want to get to get. You got to want to get to give. That's got to be the motivation. I want to bless the ministries. I want to bless this guy. I want to bless that man or that woman. I want to bless this family. That if you'll have that for your motivation, and that's your heart's desire, and you understand this principle, God will bless you. Do you believe that? If I've given you the Word of God today, Willis, you really want to come up here and do this? How many of you like these little visual aids? Okay. All right. God's blessed me with a teaspoon. I'm going to pour this out. Willis, can you contain this? You contained that pretty good, didn't you? How many of you feel like you're at teaspoon level right now? You got a teaspoon? Okay. So, okay, we're further than a teaspoon. Okay. Maybe we're at a cup. Willis, can you contain this cup? You did pretty good. You're pretty good. Okay. All right, you got your cup blessed now. Now I'm going to bless you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. Okay. How you doing, Willis? Huh? That pretty good? Now, you haven't given up. You haven't given up, have you? You've continued on in well-doing. Now, stand right in front of me here, Willis. You can't contain it, but that's what I want us to see. Don't move them. Don't move them too much. Knocked his glasses off. I'm sorry. You all right? All right. How many see, though, what we're trying to project to you? Do you see that? Teaspoons to wheelbarrow. How many really want the wheelbarrow? How many really see that you can't quit? Not like Willis got. I mean God's wheelbarrow, where He opens up and He pours you out. How many really want that? That's really what you want in your life. Not to get, but to give. Amen. He says, test me when? Now. I'm going to test you now. I'm going to see if you really want it. Test you now. See if you really want it. Now time to give. I don't know any better way of activating the Word of God than by activating the Word of God. Well, activate your tithes and activate your offering. Test me now, says God. Father, You've given us Your Word. I believe You've ministered to us, Lord God. Lord, I just ask You now to let this go into our hearts. Lord, not let it be just...